I'm going to cast the Neil Haley Show on Author's Corner. I'm excited to welcome the host of Author's Corner, Frank Fiore. Frank, how are you? I know you're excited about our guest and the tremendous work he's done in this book. I can't wait to talk about it.
Yep, I'm looking forward to this. It's a very unique thing that he has about how to use the podcast. So I'd like to...
No, that's someone else, Frank. But okay, that'll be later today. But our guest today is Calvin's son. Calvin, how are you? Thank you again for your service as an emergency room doctor. Dr. Calvin, I'll call you. Doctor, how did the kind of thing come out that you wanted to write a book with how busy your schedule before as an emergency room doctor?
It wasn't that I wanted to write a book. Somebody out there approached me because they wanted me to write the book. The book was sort of already written because I've been keeping journals and diaries since I was 6 years old. So the content was already there. I was lucky enough to be approached by a literary agent who had been following me during the pandemic. Actually, two. And they had both approached me at the same time. They didn't know about each other. So the timing felt serendipitous, synchronistic. And therefore, I followed that as a sign, talked to both of them, and it seemed legit. I had to pinch myself to see if it was a scam or not, and it wasn't. And I guess a year and a half later, of just going with the flow, I have a book out in the world, published by HarperCollins.
That's unbelievable. When so many people work so hard, but go ahead, Frank, with your question, but yeah.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's excellent.
To get published, that's a hard job. To get
I am something. Extremely grateful. I'm still in disbelief that it actually happened the way it did.
And the way you got approached, that's, Frank, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I know. It is. Poets are not easy to get published as a poet.
No, it's I went, learned after the fact how lucky and difficult the process is to be published, let alone by one of the big four like HarperCollins. I think it's many authors or writers' dream to become a published author with one of the four, and I'm lucky that I had a really good, and I chose a very good agent.
How did they approach you?
They cold emailed me. They had followed me on Instagram. One knew a coworker of mine who was referred, and the other had followed me on my social media during the pandemic. And ostensibly, they were following me originally for updates, what was going on in New York City. And through the lens, I guess, of a literary agent, I'm not a literary agent, they saw potential in me as a published author. The way I wrote, and I, you know, it's a practice that I've been keeping since I was six. So I guess if you build it, they will come. I didn't expect it to end up to where it is today, but I think isn't that the beauty of life where you like to be pleasantly surprised? I'm sure I had like a secret desire to one day be published, but I didn't expect it to be as early as the age of 34, 35. And I'm just grateful that they saw potential in me. And I just met them where they are, what wanted me to be. I always put my 100% forward. When they needed something, I always followed through. No procrastination. And here we are.
All right, Frank, I have questions for them, but I know you have questions as well. We're going to jump the checklist of what they're looking for to be published, because there's so many indie authors out there that the first goal was to get published, right, Frank?
And that's just the start of it. I mean, then after that, you got to market yourself. I don't care if you're with big publishers, little publishers, on your self-publishing, you still have to market yourself. The publishers really do very little. And so you have to get yourself out there. You got to figure out who's out there that can help me, what marketing companies. And believe me, you'll be engulfed with people saying, oh, I can help you, you know, whatever. But the main thing that you really be, before you just send out any kind of advertising or buying advertising or doing any direct mail or what have you to people that don't even know you, that what you need to do is follow, is get a bunch of followers. You got to find that watering hole, you know, and then you got to get them to follow you.
So how did HarperCollins do with marketing for you, for your book? And tell us about the book too.
HarperCollins hired a marketing team. Okay. They hired a publicist. Mm. They said I was already media trained. It wasn't a formal media training. It was an informal media training, trial by fire during the pandemic where I was on the TV a lot. So they hired a formal media trainer just to like get from me what they say 95% to 99.99%. And they took care of everything. But I was published during the strike as well. So I saw that coming. A lot of the people I worked with also had warned me ahead of time that it was coming. So once the strike started, I basically complimented the rest by visiting every single bookstore in New York City just to show face and to see if my book was going to be there, and making sure that I would show up a second and third time to sign the book when it finally came in on pub day. So it's a little bit of both. And I think what they're striving for right now, what the market is looking for authenticity. I think what worked really well for me was that I wasn't looking to be published. I wasn't this writer, I think 20, 30 years ago would have been required me to be hungrier than I was then. 2-3 years ago when I started this publication journey, I genuinely was like, I just want my book out and story out in the world if you believe in me. But if you don't, I'm totally okay with just still writing the way I am on my blog, put it for the people who want to read it, and I'm just going to accept whatever fate I am deserving. And I think that authenticity is what made people want to support me. And I think a lot of my readers and the people who buy my book, well, I bought my book, say they resonated with that. If you build it, they will come. No expectations. Just go with the flow and do your best, and not be disappointed that it's not a bestseller or a New York Times bestseller or a 2-time bestseller, 3 times. You see, like, if I want it to be X, Y, and Z, and I get there, I'm just going to want more. That's how the brain works. And you'll never be happy, rather than having no expectations and just be grateful that it's on a bookshelf somewhere, whether it's an independent or a big publisher. And I think if by letting go, which is actually the theme of my book, the universe will let you go and be at wherever you need to be. And people will, I think, put money towards that. They want to support that.
So tell us about the book. Go ahead.
The book is a memoir about how I took something like a challenge from my father's death when I was in college as a teenager, and sublimated that to something that instead of succeeding in despite of that or in spite of something, but rather because of something, taking that and sublimating and reframing into perspective that led to the life that I lead now, where instead of trying to run away from discomfort, I run towards the discomfort, knowing that I'm going to create stability on my own terms after a lesson that I learned from a sudden death of my father. And how I apply that to my travels during my medical school, where I started a travel blog collective and my first day of medical school, where every month during school, I would leave the country. And everyone would say that I would fail out of medical school. And I said, okay, I'm not letting go of that expectation. If that is my fate, that I'll drop out of med school because of travels, as long as I live for myself, I'll accept that. And is the irony of life, and how the memoir teaches, is that the more you let go and accept whatever, as long as you do your best, the more the universe will conspire with you to make sure your dreams come true and in a manifestation kind of way. And I actually stayed in medical school, even though I almost got kicked out because of the traveling, almost. I stayed in because of that. And that is what prepared me, ironically, for the pandemic. When that came around, I was already ready to report on it and meet the challenges of a pandemic. It wasn't the adventure I signed up for, but because I had accustomed myself to all the trials and tribulations of my life beforehand, I was able to meet the challenge of the pandemic, and how that is now being in the book is used as a vehicle to tell an overall story about sublimating grief into the present day.
Wow. I can't imagine, Frank, what he went through during the pandemic in New York City, Dr. Calvin. That's all I have to say. I saw the stories and what happened in New York City compared to other places. And it was rough. How did you kind of handle all that?
The unique perspective is that when I finished my residency training and became an attending physician, which is, I guess, the top of the totem pole for your medical training, I never signed a full-time contract. I didn't understand the concept of getting married after the first date, if you will, after spending the first 30 years of your life in school, which is like signing a full-time contract right after you get out of training, which is what most doctors do. I wanted to go on a few dates with different hospitals. So I actually wanted to stay per diem, and I still am, where I'm credentialed at many different hospitals around New York, and every day I get to choose when and where I want to work. And that gave me a unique perspective by the time the pandemic rolled around, where every day I was in a different hospital, which gave me a citywide view of what was going on. what patients were going through in the Bronx, Brooklyn, and Queens were very different from the patients that would, you know, in upper and lower Manhattan.
Right.
But also seeing a unifying theme. So I think that having that diversity of experience and every day being in control of my schedule and then choosing to go in every day made me burn out much, much later than most of my colleagues. We all had moral injury burnout eventually. Hit that around April, May, right as when the pandemic was waning and the lockdown had took effect in New York and not many people getting sick. My burnout, luckily, if you will, I mean, I wish we never burnt out, was when the pandemic kind of chilled out in May.
How did the COVID thing affect you? I mean, is that part of your book or part of your poems? Have you written any kind of poems about COVID? Or was it just simply your experience in the hospital?
One of my favorite poems is in the book that I wrote at the end of a chapter during the height of the pandemic. And so it's a little bit of poetry, but mostly prose. And it's just a way of describing. I use poetry as a way to show, don't tell, the haze of trauma of how to describe COVID. I mean, you know, how do you write about God? Like, or the concept of something that cannot be touched. You can try to do prose all you want and be philosophical, but I decided to switch to poetry just for a little bit to have the haziness of what that pandemic was like. It was like a fever dream, fever nightmare. Fever dream is a good thing. Fever nightmare, literally a fever. And just seeing it from different perspectives, different boroughs, every day being a different place, working with different staff members was just this nightmare. And I've seen enough in the first 2 months of COVID from March to May to March to end of April to give you nightmares for the rest of your life. But luckily, because I was writing every day, which is a habit I learned from travel blogging, which is a habit I learned from keeping a journal since I was six, I was able to get it all on paper. So that allowed me to go to bed. I can actually get a full night of sleep because I was writing it all out and just disseminating all that stress onto an external thing. So I did my best. But yeah, how did I do it? It's like living through a nightmare. How do you live through nightmares? Eventually, you'll wake up and you'll trust one day you will wake up. And luckily, because of writing, I was able to trust in that future. And I think we've all woken up.
You know, there's a quote in the movie Contact where, I don't know if you've seen it, she goes into outer space and then she sees
that movie.
Gorgeous, asking all this stuff. Says, oh, so beautiful. And she says, they should have sent a poet. Poetry can describe God or all those experiences much, much more than just straight science. It was just fascinating that what you get with that quote.
Yeah, that's how I ended a chapter. It's like you can write all you want about what had happened in COVID, which I did, but I felt like to end it needed to be a poem because that was the best way I could not the ideal. Ideal will be even wordless, I guess, or a picture.
Right.
But poetry was that poem was the way I ended it, just to encapsulate everything of that chapter of the height of the pandemic.
Wow. Are you going to write another book after being published?
Yeah, I guess I'm writing every day still. So the second book is writing itself, if you will. I'm still traveling. So every month I still go on a trip. It's something I've been keeping as a habit for the last 13 years since the first day of medical school. So I have a trip that I just came back from 2 weeks ago. I have a trip next month and a month after that. And every time I'm writing, and that hopefully will become a book one day when my agent says the time is right. But right now I'm just going to be grateful that the first book is already out there.
Travel. So you're almost like a travel blogger now. That's what you're trying to build.
I'm back to being I was always a travel blogger.
Yeah.
But this blog turned into a collective that is now an adventure travel company where it's like Forrest Gump. Every airport that I land in now, there are like 3 to 20 to, I think our goal, or not goal, our record is 60 people showing up at the airport. And there's like, we want to join you on your adventure. I don't market. I don't advertise. The trips are posted without any fanfare, and it self-selects, and the right people who are stumbling upon it will reach out and ask to join. And the word gets out,
is especially in travel.
Organic.
Without as many travel agencies, you're the guy.
Right. Yeah, it's like a organic. It's like Forrest Gump. He's running around the world. We're running the country alone, and people.
It's
just
impressive. It's impressive, yeah. Dr. Calvin. Thanks again for stopping by. Best place people can go to find information. I guess purchase the book on Amazon, right?
Just look up The Monsoon Diaries. Look for my name, Calvin Sun, monsoondiaries.com, or my name, Calvin D. Sun, at calvindsun.com. Anywhere you look up Monsoon Diaries, Monsoon Wedding plus Motorcycle Diaries, I guess, social media, that's how you find me. Or just Google me in my North Korea. That's, I think, originally how people found me.
Well, thank you for your service, and thank you for what you did in the pandemic. So thanks again.
Good to be here.
All right. That was a special simulcast of Neil Haley Show in the Author's Corner, guys. Take care.